Live from NPR News, I'm Jack Spear. President Joe Biden today announced the U.S. is upping the ante in the battle against the coronavirus in a major way.
We're now on track to have enough vaccine supply for every adult in America by the end of May.
And speaking at the White House today, the president said he's confident his administration will be able to honor the pledge he made shortly after taking office, with a major uptick in vaccine production, including the approval of a third candidate from Johnson & Johnson.
There will be 100 million vaccination shots administered in my first 100 days in office. We've got halfway to that goal in 37 days, and I feel confident we'll make it all the way.
Latest goal in terms of vaccine production comes as the administration announced today Merck & Company will help produce rival Johnson & Johnson's new vaccine. Biden also said he will use the powers of the federal government to direct all states to prioritize the vaccination of teachers. FBI Director Christopher Wray today called the January 6 attack on the U.S. Capitol domestic terrorism. NPR's Brian Naylor reports Wray testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Testifying for the first time since the attack, Director Wray said he was appalled by the violence and destruction of that day.
That attack, that siege, was criminal behavior, plain and simple, and it's behavior that we, the FBI, view as domestic terrorism.
In Wray's words, quite a number of the some 280 people who have been arrested on charges relating to the attack had militia or white supremacist connections. And to date, he said there's no evidence that anyone connected to Antifa had been involved. Wray said that domestic terrorism was metastasizing across the country, and he defended the Bureau's sharing of intelligence in the days leading up to the attack, but conceded what happened on January 6th was not an acceptable result. Brian Naylor, NPR News.
The Biden administration is imposing sanctions on seven Russian officials, among them a former prime minister and top security official. The move aims to punish Russia for a nerve agent attack on a leading opposition figure. More from NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
The new sanctions, along with some similar measures in Europe, are meant as a signal to Russia after the attempted assassination of Alexei Navalny and his jailing earlier this year. State Department spokesperson Ned Price puts it this way.
This kind of behavior is not acceptable. We will not countenance it. We will not tolerate it. And there will be penalties going forward.
Seven Russians were added to a U.S. blacklist, meaning Americans can't do business with them. They include former Prime Minister Sergei Kiryenko, now a Kremlin aide, and the head of Russia's Federal Security Service, or FSB, Alexander Bortnikov. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Stocks took a bit of a breather today. The Dow was down 143 points. The Nasdaq closed down 230 points today. You're listening to NPR News. Texas has become the largest state to do away with a mask mandate. The ruling that was put in place there last summer to slow the spread of the coronavirus had only been loosely enforced. And today, Republican Governor Greg Abbott said Texas will be doing away with it entirely. The new rule takes effect March 10th. Governors nationwide are beginning to ease coronavirus restrictions despite warnings from health experts. Bunny Wailer, an iconic Jamaican reggae singer who founded the Wailers with Bob Marley and Peter Tosh, has died. NPR's Andrew Limbong reports Wailer died this morning in Kingston at the age of 73.
There was something undeniably charming about the way the Wailers' voices mixed together.
We are the small
Something that didn't come easy, as Bunny Wailer told NPR in 2016.
The thing about Wailers is that we are always rehearsing. Always. Until we party.
Bunny Wailer was born in 1947, and even after he parted with the Wailers in 1974, he continued on with a successful solo career.
My dreamland would be like heaven.
In a statement, Olivia Grange, Jamaica's Minister of Culture, called him one of the, quote, pioneers and standard bearers of our country's music. Andrew Limbong, NPR News.
The main U.S. oil industry lobby is apparently rethinking its position on setting a price on carbon emissions. That would represent a major shift for the American Petroleum Institute from its longstanding opposition to mandatory government climate policies. It's according to a report by the Wall Street Journal, the possible endorsement of so-called carbon pricing comes as European members have been lobbying. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News.